the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
I want to start with some real meaningful words of poetry. It's a poem you may well already know. It's a poem that begins, I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who's walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. And bizarrely enough, that's what happens in this passage of scripture today. It wasn't written by the proclaimers, but it was written in Genesis. If you have your Bibles with you, can I recommend that you open them up to Genesis chapter 12? And then turn back a bit, because it was Genesis 11. Sorry, I didn't have my notes. The last two verses of Genesis chapter 11, I must have read these last two verses 100 times in the last month, maybe in the last 2 months. Before I knew I was coming here, I just picked a few little passages, and I thought, I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to read it again and again and again and again, because in Scripture it says, I have hidden your word in my heart. And I want to be one of those people who eats God's word, swallows it, soaks it in, meditates on Scripture to try and consider what is God saying to me, not just through the big picture that I'm used to teaching, but through the little bits as well. So I want us to just look at these two verses, the last two verses from chapter 11, and see what pearls of wisdom God has for us in these verses. My version says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter. It's always a joy when your iPad just shuts down midway through a reading, isn't it? The original paper version doesn't do that. Let me start again. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Okay, you've all had a chance to look at it and read it. Do you want to close your Bibles for a minute? I'd like to read it to you one more time, and then I want to see if you can tell it to the person next to you. So please do try and concentrate. It's only two verses, right? How complicated can it be? There's just a few people. There's three people who are heading off on a journey. Four people, Terah, Abraham, Lot, and Sarah, in that order. And they're heading off from Ur of the Chaldeans, and they head towards Haran, which you'll be pleased to know is about how far away? Think of the proclaimers. About 500 miles. And when they get to Haran, they stop. But actually, if they had continued on to Canaan, how much further do you think it might have been? How good's that? I only realized that this morning. I was so excited when I got Google Maps out. I thought, I wonder how far it is. So I had a quick look. It's about 500 miles each journey, but they stop halfway through. And that's kind of, for me, that's what I want to consider this morning. Well, why did they stop? Why did they not continue their journey? And what were they hoping for? And where were they heading to? So let me read it to you one more time. If you close your eyes to concentrate, it can help you. But if you want to leave your eyes open because you don't trust the person next to you, that's fine too. Let me read it to you one more time. Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson, Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, the wife of his son, Abram. And together they set out from the Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Okay, turn to the person next to you, please. See if you can retell that story. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, how did we get on? I think if I give you long enough, you all go for the amplified version, don't you? You just add to it. We were looking at the beginning at four people. And the four people who are going to head off on this journey are heading off to a land. If you imagine that the land that they're heading towards is the land that we're in. We're in a room that is kind of long and thin. And that long and thin room is, it runs kind of north to south. So this is kind of the north of Canaan, and that's the south of Canaan. Thank you. Should I give that one a go?
I feel like...
We'll stick with this. I can stand still for at least 20 minutes. I'm not going to take 20 minutes. You're okay. In this land, this is the land they're heading towards. Where are they coming from? They're coming from the cove over there. They're coming from 500 miles away, and they know that if they head straight across, they'll be in trouble. Because if you go straight across, you go through desert, 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 you die before you reach the land. So they decide they're going to head north 500 miles, and then eventually they're going to have to come that second 500 into the land. But the story tells us that they don't manage to quite get there. But before they head off, do you notice who's leading the family? Who took who? Tara. Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought it was Abraham who set off towards the land that he was promised. But actually, Scripture tells us both men seem to have been called to come to this land. Terah, the father of the family, Abraham's dad, hears the call and says, we're going to leave the land that we live in, and we're going to come all the way around, and we're going to come and live in this land of Canaan. Abraham, in Acts, Stephen says, Abraham was called right at the beginning, even when he was still down in Ur, before he headed off. He was called right at the beginning. So who was called? Well, Terah was called, and Abraham was called. Sadly, Abraham's brother Haran has died. So Abraham, who has no children at this point, decides he's going to take Lot into his family. So all of them are going to head off on their journey. Let's just stop for a minute and consider. If you're heading off on a journey and you don't know, like the proclaimers did, that it's going to take you about 1,000 miles, and God says to you, I want you to head off on a journey, and I am going to give you a land, and I'll let you know when you've got there. You're going to leave stuff behind, and you're going to head off on a massive journey that is going to take you months. What are you going to miss? What is there that you have at home, maybe back in Ur of the Chaldeans? What is there you would miss if you left your old life behind? Well, I want you to turn to the person who sits opposite you on the table. And I want you to tell them, if you were called to leave the place you live, and you were called by God to move away and to leave your family, to leave your friends, to leave your workplace, to leave everything you have behind, and to go to a land that He promises to give you, what do you think you would miss the most? I'll give you a couple of seconds to talk. Okay, ladies and gents. As we stop and we ponder what God was calling Abraham to do, it's a big ask, isn't it? I remember a number of years ago, I felt a call to move back to the northeast. And I said to my wife, as soon as we got married in the February and we ended up moving in the summer, I really feel like at the beginning of our married life, we should move north. It wasn't the full 500, but it was about 300 miles north. And I knew where I was going. I knew where I wanted to end up. But it's still very difficult to leave behind your family. I left my brother behind. I left my mom and dad behind. They were all living in the south. And to leave that and to head off into a place that I knew was really difficult. But God doesn't call Abraham to do that. God calls Abraham to leave behind everything that he knows into a place that he doesn't know. I wonder how the conversation went. For me, when I spoke to my wife and I said, I think we should move 300 miles north to a kind of industrial area in the northeast of England, she looked at me strangely. Although she was born in Sunderland, she's lived most of her life in the south. And she looked at me strangely but said, you know, if that's what you feel God is calling us to do, then we need to go. I wonder if Sarah was quite so forgiving. I wonder whether Sarah said, what's wrong with her of the Chaldeans? It's kind of nice here. We have a nice cove. They're right on the Persian Gulf, so it's really similar in its kind of context. It's right by the sea. They have a beautiful place. And God called them to leave all of that behind and to head off towards this land. But as you continue through the story, what did you read? They're heading here to go to Canaan. But when they reached Haran, they settled there. What on earth could make you stop a journey like that? What is it, like, if you're willing to give everything up and you head off on a journey and you say, I know where I'm going to, why would you stop halfway? Why would you get to a point that you say, this will do for me? I know that God has a blessing for me, but I'm quite happy to settle for something a bit less than that. Historians tell us that if you go back to Ur of the Chaldees, in those days, people used to worship different gods, but the main god of choice was not the sun, but the other one that's up there, the moon. And when they set off and they traveled along Mesopotamia, the land between the two big rivers, they go all the way to Haran and they find out, guess who they worship there? Worship the moon. And sometimes when people set off on a mighty journey, they find themselves part way and they think, oh, this looks kind of comfortable. This looks kind of, I could settle here. This is kind of pleasant. If I stop here, I might fit in. Like, I know what it feels like, and wouldn't it be great just to stop here? But I think some of the saddest words in this passage are the end ones. Terah, who set off to go to Canaan, what does it say about him in the final verse? Terah lived to 205 years old. I mean, that's old in anybody's book. 205 years, and he still never made it. He headed off with great ideas and great hopes for what was going to happen for him in the land, but he stopped on the way and he settled down and he said, this will do for me. How does this challenge you? I found this horribly convicting over the last few months as I look at this passage and I think, this is the story of the Christian faith, is it not? We all set off on a journey. And when we set off on our journey, what did we leave behind? We left behind all that was of our old life. I want you to just consider that for a minute. I want you to speak again. And I want you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to say, when I left my old life behind, when I decided that I was going to follow the way that Jesus has for me, what did you leave behind? I'll give you 30 seconds. What did you leave behind? What did you have to leave in order to follow Jesus? Whatever you do, don't stand next to the speaker. I think that's the rule, right? Never stand right next to the speaker. Smart move. Oh, thank you. This whole family has set off, and they've wandered along the Tigris and Euphrates, and they've come all the way to Haran, and they've stopped. They've stopped partly on the way. We've just been considering just for the last few seconds. We started off considering what was it they left behind. Now we've been saying, What did we leave behind? When we started off on our Christian faith, what did we leave behind? What did we think that Canaan was going to be like? When we headed off on our Christian journey, what did we hope we would be doing when we headed off on the journey? You don't head off thinking, when I get to the other end, it's going to be worse than the place that I set off from. Everybody who leaves Ur of the Chaldees is heading towards Canaan because they believe that God has a better place for them than he had before. Now, you headed off and you left behind some things and some, maybe for me, when I came to faith, I realized that some of the things that I used to listen to, music-wise, were not helpful and fulfilling for me. They filled my head full of bad things. Maybe some of the films that I watched weren't good. Maybe some of the relationships I had were not what they should have been. And I had to leave some of that behind. Maybe all my thoughts were about myself and what was going to happen in my life. And I had to leave that selfishness behind and take on a selflessness. And I head off on that journey hoping that when I come in to the land that God has promised me, maybe a few months down the line, maybe a year down the line, I had dreams of what Canaan was going to look like. When you first came to faith and you left stuff behind and you headed off on the journey, what did you think Canaan was going to look like? Now, for some of us, it's been a while since we came to faith. And for some of us, we've maybe lost the picture of the dream of what it was going to be. Whenever I head off on a holiday, before I go, I look through all the magazines and I look through the brochures and I say, what's it going to look like when I get there? The thing that gets me on the plane is the dream of the other end, the destination. When you headed off on your spiritual journey, what was the dream of the destination? What were you hoping your Christian life was going to be? Mine's not what I thought it was going to be. Kind of hasn't been. It's been a little bit indirect. But I'm guessing for some people, you'll realize that actually, maybe you're still back in Haran. Maybe you're still back in Ur. Maybe you're at the beginning of your journey and you're thinking, I'm not sure I want to go. I'm kind of happy where I am. Ur is not such a bad place after all. Maybe everybody else can go around there and then Ur will be nice and empty and I'll be happy here all by myself. At least I'll get some peace and quiet. But maybe you're like the majority of us who at some point in time, we've stopped on our journey. And we've been wandering and wandering and wandering until we get to Haran. And we've put down roots there. And if you're Terah, you might be 100 years old by now. But don't wait until you're 205 before you rip up the roots and finish your journey. I don't believe that God wants us to stop on our journey for too long. We stop and we learn and we recoup and we grow. And then we keep going back to the journey that we had before. Put a picture in your mind of the destination you dreamt of when you first started following Jesus. What was it you believed that he was calling you to do? I think quite often we get a little sidetracked along the way. I've spent so much time getting in my car and traveling from one church to another, I know and I commit that actually one of the things that God calls me to do is be a good husband. I need to make sure that I get back to my wife at least once a week. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But actually, I was talking to somebody last night and they said they were convicted a little while ago. I'm not a very good friend. I've got sidetracked with the details and the stuff that holds me back. I'm concentrating on the things that God has given me as a little ministry, but actually God has a bigger blessing to give you, and you've settled there because it's safe and it's easy and it's homely and everybody else is happy for you to be there. And your family stopped. I wonder whether Abraham stops because because Terah stops and because Lot stops. Everybody else stops and we think, oh, I'll stop as well. But God longs to bless Abraham. And you know, Abraham doesn't get the blessing that he always wanted until he takes that final step and comes into the promised land. What was it that Abraham always dreamt of? What was it that Abraham saw as his dream destination? What was he hoping for? Hello? Sun. Yeah, he didn't want the moon. But he did want the sun. One of them would do. Didn't have any. His brother died. He took his son with him. He took Lot with him, but he didn't have a son of his own. And he said, God, I know you want to bless me in a particular way, but actually, while I know how you want to bless me, I'm still going to stay over here. I think there are people throughout the church who have settled for God's secondary blessing, saying the first blessing didn't come very quickly. Maybe I'll just cling hold of this one. Maybe I found myself in a ministry within the church and I do something and my heart's not in it, but I'm going to keep doing it because maybe God will bless me through this one and that'll be okay. And I know that when I first came to faith, God said to me that this is what I'm going to go and do. And I've never taken that second step. I'm halfway on my journey. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. My prayer at the beginning of this weekend is that we will begin to consider, what was it that brought us to faith at the beginning? When Jesus showed us his love and brought us close as family, he gave so many of us a vision of what we were heading towards in the future. We need to go backwards. We need to go back and find that first love, that first passion, that first blessing, and ask God, have I taken my first step? Am I still on the journey? Have I stopped? Or have I made it into the promised land? Where are the blessings? Do you remember when Abraham finally makes it into the promised land? He gets a son straight away, right? No. Takes a long time. Maybe we've made it to the place that God called us to be and we're kind of shouting out saying, well, I've made it. I've come where you wanted me to come, but I don't kind of feel the blessings yet. Where's the blessings? And the answer is 4 o'clock. Because we're going to move on to the next couple of verses, which take us to the place where Abraham finally understands what God's blessings are going to be for him. So as we finish today, I want you to consider one of my favorite lines from Back to the Future. Do you remember the film? It begins highbrow and finishes highbrow, doesn't it? It begins with the Proclaimers and finishes with Back to the Future. Who's seen Back to the Future? Oh, it's a tremendous film. I watched it again the other week. I watched the second one. And you remember the real bad guy? The bad guy has this stupid phrase and he gets it wrong every time. And he always says, make like a tree and get out of here. And everybody's like, no, that can't be right. That doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to say, make like a tree and leaf. Yeah. Make like a tree and leaf. I want to leave you with one word today. Leaf. As you wander around today and you see leaves, I want you to consider leaving what you have. Leaving what you have amassed. Considering whether you're only partway on the journey to the blessing that God has for you, and remember to leave that. Leave it behind. Give up everything for him. I have a final question that's rhetorical. And the final question is there anything that you wouldn't give up? Because God calls Abraham to give up everything. and leave. Later on, we're going to find out he calls him to give up, finally, the son that he gets. God calls people to leave everything. I remember somebody asking my dad a number of years ago, do I have to give up playing football on a Sunday morning now that I've become a Christian? And my dad said, is it important to you to play football on a Sunday morning above going to church? And the guy said, yes. And he said, well, bless you for your honesty. Yes, you have to give it up. If something is more important to you than what God has for you, you need to give it up. Even your family, even your friends, even your career. I laughed earlier on, Alex, when it was described as a university career. No. Man, that's not a career, is it? That's just fun. But actually, you're at an interesting point where you're looking ahead and you're saying, what does God have for me and which direction should I go in? And yet so many of us are not in the blessed place that you're in, because you're looking ahead and you're saying, I'm on that journey and I'm still walking. And some of us are pretending we got there, but we're actually still in Haran. And we're getting close to 205 years. And the last thing I want to do is die in Haran. I want to make it into the promised land that God has a blessing for me and for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that even 4,000 years after the story of Abraham, there can still be a challenge in it for us. Just even looking at these few verses that just say a little family heads off with a good intention but kind of gets waylaid on the way. Help us to just digest that. Help us through today maybe just to sit down and to ponder these words again and to ask you, am I still on the journey with you? Am I walking towards that promised land, that wonderful new city that you have for us? And Father, figuratively, we know we're not going to make it to that promised land until one day we meet with you. And that really we're always going to be a wandering people, a traveling people. Father, help us to come back to you this morning, to leave those things behind that have become, dare we suggest, more important to us than even our relationship with you. Help us to give it up, to make like a tree and leaf. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.